Now we've come to the 11th verse. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now, I think surely this brings us to the end of time, to the final judgment. You see, we've had back here now, we've had the beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire back here. The false prophet, they're cast into the lake of fire. Then we have the 1,000 years, the little time. Now then Satan is cast into the lake of fire, and then comes the judgment. I believe this is the final judgment, though there are some that do not agree, but I can't see anything else in it but that. And him who sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. Right, now, you have books were opened. I am persuaded that these books are the law, the book of the law that God gave to the people back before Sinai. Whatever laws God gave to the patriarchs, they'll be judged by that, the revelation they had. So also, those from Sinai to Christ will be judged by the law which they were under. Then, from Christ on, all men will be judged by the gospel. And then there's the book of the individual's life, and he is judged by the law that he lived under, whatever it was. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. Now, whether he's talking about the Pacific and the Atlantic Ocean, the literal sea, or whether he's talking about the sea of the 13th chapter, out of which the beast came, which symbolizes society, the human society. I'm not certain, though I take the view that he's talking here about the human society, the living at the time of the judgment, those that are living physically. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, those that are dead spiritually, in the sea of humanity, the sea of life. And I take that picture from the 7th chapter of Daniel and the 13th chapter of Revelation. I believe that's the sea that he's talking about, but now notice, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. So death, whether he's out of there, whether he was buried at sea or buried in the land, wouldn't make any difference. Though I wouldn't argue that too strongly. It could be that both the grave and the sea gave up the dead that were in them, wherever they may be. Could be that. So I'll just leave that for you to think about. They were all raised, whatever it may mean. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, even the lake of fire, and if any was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. Right, so there then is the final judgment. The Roman Empire and paganism and the city of Rome have all been destroyed. Now then, they were cast in the lake of fire. Now at the end of the 1,000 years, at the end of the period of the church, the preaching of the gospel, now then Satan was cast into the lake of fire. Now then, the dead, whose names were not in the book of life, they were cast into the lake of fire. Death and Hades is cast into the lake of fire. No use talk about the judgment. You're sufficiently familiar with that. Now let's look at verse 21 and 2. I mean chapter 21, verses 1 and 2. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth are passed away, and the sea is no more. That's why I think it's the sea of humanity there, though I wouldn't be too positive about that. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for a husband. And that fits in what I said the other day about the 19th chapter, verse 7 and 8. And I heard a great voice out of the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his peoples, and God shall be with them, and so on. I'll say a little more about that in the morning. I want to get complete the idea of this 20th chapter. Now turn with me to 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and I want to note here the parallel between 2 Peter 3 and Revelation, except 2 Peter 3 stands the whole scope from creation unto the new heaven and the new earth. This is now, beloved, the second epistle that I write unto you. And in both of them, I stir up your sincere mind by putting you in remembrance, that ye may remember the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this first, that in the last days mockers shall come with mockery, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For from the day that the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Right now here, Peter moves back to the beginning of the creation. Right now then he said, and all things continue, these unbelievers saying, for this they willfully forget, that there were heavens from of old, and an earth compacted out of water and amidst water, by the word of God, by which means the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens that now are, and the earth by the same word, have been stored up for fire, being reserved against the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Right now, here's the creation, then here is the flood. Right now he comes on down to say that the heavens and the earth that now are, and the earth by the same word, have been stored up for fire, being reserved against the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Right now here then is, here in Revelation, up here we're following Revelation 20. Here Revelation 20, into 21 about verse 2. Right now here was your 1,000 years, the beast and the false prophet in the lake of fire. 1,000 years, a little time, the judgment in chapter 20, 11 to 14, then the new heaven and the new earth. Now that's in Revelation. Right now, follow Peter now. Now he says, in the same word, been stored up for fire, being reserved against the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Right now, he mentioned the judgment. Right here, the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Right now, here we've come to the judgment again. Now note, but forget not this one thing, beloved, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Right, now that teaches us then, that when you talk about 1,000 years, you are not talking about a definite period. And he's not talking about a prophetic date. That would mean here that you got 365,000 years left. So he's not talking about that. What he's talking about is that time is no element with God. God does not deal with time. He deals with the accomplishing of a purpose. Now, God didn't decide that for 4,000 years man would live and then the Christ would come. But when the time should be fulfilled, then the Christ would come. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, said Jesus. All right? So, if that... Now, when is the end going to come? God hasn't set a special date. It's when that is accomplished in this dispensation which he purposed to be accomplished. So it's the accomplishing of a purpose with God. Therefore, 1,000 years is a day. A day is 1,000 years. He doesn't act according to years in time. He acts according to the accomplishing of a purpose that he had determined in his mind. I believe this is true. I think it's true in all the Bible, all the way through. Now he said 1,000 years is a day and so on, for the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering to you, and not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief. All right, now here then is your day of the Lord. That is this day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. This is the day of the Lord. Well, the day of the Lord is the day of the second coming of the Lord. We learned that back in 2 Thessalonians 2, and I just want to stop and get that also. I already have you sufficiently confused. I just want to complete the picture. Right, now, looking back at 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, now note what he says in verses 1 and 2. Now, we beseech you, brethren, touching the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him, to the end that you be not quickly shaken in your mind, or yet be troubled, either by spirit or by word or by epistles from us, as that the day of the Lord is just at hand. Right now, your coming of the Lord and your day of the Lord are identical in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 and 2. The coming of the Lord and the day of the Lord are synonymous. They are the same. What? All right. So here then, when he says over here, for the day of the Lord shall come as a thief, this day of the Lord is the coming of the Lord, according to the passage in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 and 2. Right now, back to verse 10. In the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt, shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that these things are thus all to be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy living and godliness, looking for and earnestly desiring the coming of the day of God, by reason of which the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. But according to his promise, we look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. All right? Beyond the judgment then is a new heaven and a new earth, just as you have it in Revelation. In Revelation, here's your 1,000 years. Here's your little time, which is a part of the whole of this time, then the judgment, then your new heaven and your new earth. Now, in 2 Peter, he goes back here, and here's the beginning of creation, and here's the flood. All of these by the word of God. This is the point he's making there, by the word of God. Now, then, by the same word, the earth that now is and the heaven are stored up for fire. Over here, at the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Right now then, beyond that, this day of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, the day of judgment, destruction of ungodly men, then you have your new heaven and your new earth. That's after this present one and present order have been destroyed, been carried away, don't you see? Been abolished. But there's another thing I want you to note. I look at verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for these things, give diligence that you may be found in peace, without spot and blameless in his sight, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Right now here, during this period, here then, this period of time is the time of long suffering of our Lord and of salvation. Right? So this then is the period of salvation. So your 1,000 years here, which is as a day, which is the time here that we are talking about before the judgment, is the day of salvation. So your 1,000 years here in Revelation is the day of salvation. Don't you see? It's the period of time of the gospel and the triumph of the martyrs and the preaching of the gospel. It's the day of salvation. So we have, well, I think you have a parallel between 2 Peter 3 and Revelation the 20th chapter. Now just, and Paul talks about the same thing. Now notice he says here, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given to him, wrote unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things. What these things? Why, back in verse 14, beloved, seeing that you look for these things. So, whatever Peter talked about, Paul had talked about. Well, let me start over. Whatever Paul talked about, Peter talked about. Whatever Peter talked about, John talked about. So what John is talking about is what Peter talked about is what Paul talked about. So they're all in agreement, don't you see? Because John and Peter are parallel. And Peter said Paul talked about the same thing. So now you just take whatever Paul said about the second coming and about the resurrection and the judgment and the day of the Lord and all that. Well, that's what Peter was talking about. Well, what Peter's talking about is what John's talking about. So John's not talking about some distinctive thing here of a 1,000-year reign on earth that Paul and the rest of the apostles knew nothing about. They were all talking about the same thing. All right, now let me finish this up that quickly. I talked about these things, wherein are some things hard to be understood, which the ignorant and unsteadfast rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, knowing these things beforehand, beware lest, being carried away with the error of the wicked, you fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Right, so now, here some of them pervert these to their own destruction. And I think every millennialist has to pervert the Old Testament prophets. And he has to pervert the book of Revelation Well, then, of course, since he perverted that, he got to pervert everything Paul said and Peter and John said in order to make it fit his theory to their own destruction. So not one of those immaterial, indifferent things. Now let me pause for one other thing. Let me now say a little bit about this idea of the new heaven and the new earth. We'll have about 5 or 6, 10 minutes left, and I want to deal with that. And then may say just a little more about this in a moment. But now turn with me to Isaiah. I want to deal with this Bible teaching of a new heaven and a new earth, which likewise is greatly perverted. I say it's misunderstood. The idea of the new heaven and the new earth is misunderstood. I think we can understand it. Now, look at chapter 34, and beginning with verse 3, as it deals here with the nations, Isaiah 34, 3 through about 5. They're slain also, he's talking about the nations up here in verse 2, for Jehovah hath indignation against all the nations. Now he says, they're slain also shall be cast out, and the stench of their dead bodies shall come up, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their host shall fade away, as the leaf fadeth from off the vine, and as a fading leaf from the fig tree. Right now, the heavens are rolled up there. The heavens are abolished. They are rolled up. They are done away with. All right? Now that's not the end of time. That's the end of the nation. Heaven has come to an end so far as the nations are concerned. No longer are they under the heavens. The heaven has passed away. Now turn to the 51st chapter. And here again we have this idea. This time it's about Jerusalem. All right, now beginning here with verse 4. Because this is against Jerusalem and against the Jewish people and the Jewish order. Attend unto me, O my people, and give ear unto me, O my nations. He told me his nation now. Isaiah 51, beginning with verse 4, my righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and my arms shall judge the peoples. The isles shall wait for me, and on mine arm shall they rest. Now lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. All right? Now here's the passing of the Jewish order. The heaven shall be rolled up and pass away, and the men shall die of that order. But now then, his righteousness shall abide forever. So his righteousness, a righteous order, going to take the place of the old order. Now turn to the 16th. Let me see if there's another verse in here that I'd like to have. Yeah, verse 16 of that same chapter, the 51st chapter, verse 16. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and have covered thee in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens, and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Right, now that's verse 16, 51:16 that is. So here then, God's going to plant a new heaven and a new earth for Zion here. And say unto Zion, thou art my people. Now that's a new spiritual heaven and a new earth that he's going to plant. Now turn to the 65th chapter and let us note what he's saying here. Right in chapter 16 he says that the troubles, the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes. All right, the older things are passing away. Now look at verse 17. 65:7, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered nor brought to mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and a people of joy. Now look at verse 25. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith Jehovah. Now that is under the reign of Christ. That's made clear in the 11th chapter of Isaiah, where he's talking there about the seed of Jesse, the root of Jesse, right, which was the Christ, quoted in the New Testament. And so Here he's talking about the messianic period here, which will be a new heaven and a new earth. So then, good people, back to Isaiah. Isaiah then talks about a new heaven and a new earth. Now, what is the new heaven and the new earth of Isaiah? Talks about the passing of the old. It's the new order over here. It's this new order under Christ. Right? Now, with the passing of the old, with the old order, you have the new. So Isaiah is looking from the old Jewish order here. He's pointing over here to this new heaven and new earth under Christ, a new order under Christ. Right now, what are Peter and John talking about? 2 Peter 3 and Revelation 21, what are they talking about? They're talking about a new heaven or new earth, that is a new order, over here beyond the judgment. Now you'll notice in both of their passages, they're looking over here to a new order beyond the judgment. Here was a judgment. Now then here's your new heaven and your new earth here, which is a new order in comparison to the old. And all things, a new heaven and a new earth. So Isaiah's new heaven and new earth is the new order under Christ, the present dispensation. Now, the new heaven and the new earth of Peter and John is the new order over here after the judgment. This is new in comparison to this. This is new in comparison to this back here. Now, make a notation of that and give that some space. And see if that doesn't pretty well present the truth of this matter. So looking now in brief review of our lesson today, before we close, here we saw in the 19th chapter the rod of the white horse, that is the Christ, who should break them with a rod of iron, break them with the rod that proceedeth out of his mouth, which is the rod of his own judgment. Here these forces are gathered together back here, the kings and the beast and those that were with him, and the beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire. That's the end of the Roman Empire that backed paganism. Now then, this martyr spirit of the saints, their faithfulness to God in the midst of that terrible persecution, bound Satan. Now, as Christ bound him, they bound him. Just figures of speech, symbolic ideas, symbolizing the overcoming of Satan by Christ and by his followers. Right now, you have 1,000 years here in which these martyrs, the spirit for which they died, the martyr spirit, in which they reign through their willingness to die. For 1,000, sitting on thrones, reigning with Christ. It's a reign that's been going on since the victory of the saints over Satan and his forces. Now, toward the end of the 1,000 years, he's loosed for a little season, gathers Gog and Magog. Gog and Magog, being all of the forces toward the end of time, gathered together under Satan in a last, final, and furious effort to destroy all that Jesus Christ has done. I don't know whether we're in it now or entering into it. I might want to make a guess, but I wouldn't. But I don't know the amount of salt left. There could be a swing back to the right. If we can overcome and hold out, and there'll be enough converted to the Lord, and there's enough salt, there'll be a swing back to the right, it'll be spared. If not, it goes down under the judgment of God, and we come to the end of time. Now, it's going to be something like that. God never destroyed a nation. He never destroyed the world with a flood. He never destroyed a people until they were no longer fit to live. The salt was gone. Now, that is not enough to preserve it. That's the way it'll be at the end of time. Not enough salt to save it, preserve it. Then comes the end, when he gathers all of these spiritual forces, moral forces, against the things of God. And all of these I mentioned are against the things of God. Alright, then when that time is over, then comes the end. He says here, campest about, and fire came down out of heaven and devoured them. Alright, that's the same thing here. Here then they were cast into the lake of fire. The devil was cast into the lake of fire. In both of these, just we had in 2 Peter. Heavens and the earth, these things, this order shall pass away. Now you have the final judgment. Then beyond the final judgment, the new heavens and the new earth, in comparison to the present new heavens and new earth, in comparison to that of the old, of the Old Testament. Now this I believe to be what Revelation is dealing with. Somebody may say, well, why did he make it so hard? I don't know. I don't know about that. Maybe it's to give us something to study and to see the wisdom of God and the power of spiritual forces in this world which God has created. All right. In the morning, those of you who won't be able to be here, all I'll do is just simply be review the book briefly and deal a little bit with the 21st chapter, which presents the church at home with God in its final state. I'll say a little bit about that. And that, of course, will be heaven, to be at home in the final state. Let's stand and sing a verse of the song that's been selected. If you're subject to the gospel, you're invited to come.